thank you, State Archives, for the invitation to present on the Department's records information management assurance process. Now, while I'm standing here giving this presentation, I'd like to, first of all, just thank the many people who are actually involved in implementing this. It wasn't myself alone. People like Brina Solomon, Julie Waters, Vinnie Greenwood, Heather Gordon, and David Thanel, to mention a few. So it's not just myself involved. So to introduce the assurance process, the first question often that is asked is, well, what is attestation? I've pulled a little thing there from the dictionary. It's a formal statement that you make that you believe is true. So you, hand on heart, I believe that what I'm saying is a fact. And obviously, if you find that what you are saying is incorrect or an untruth, there are ramifications for that. So why would we do this for information and records management in the department? Where did this need come from? How do we implement this? And what are the results? What have we got out of it? So to put some context around how and why, I think it's important to look at the context of DFSI as it is now, today, and also to, a bit of a pop reference there, to go back to 2014, back to the future. Okay, so DFSI today, so just from our strategic plan, we've got 6,500 staff, that's full-time employees and contract staff, across Sydney, Parramatta, Gosford are the main offices. We also have regional offices as well when you consider Service New South Wales and Fair Trading. There's obviously a core business efforts there, but to put it very simply, DFSI has a range of activities and functions, and we're a service provider and a regulator. Something that the public is probably more familiar with, and that are the many, the agencies within DFSI. So the public would be more familiar with Telco Authority, Fair Trading, Revenue, State Insurance, etc. So that sort of gives an idea of the, and certainly Service New South Wales in the middle there. So that just gives an idea of the varied activities within the department. Okay, so let's jump back to the then Office of Finance and Services in 2014. And it was fair to say that there was a long period of change and organisational upheaval preceding this this year. And there was a little blurb actually written about DFSI, which we published on our intranet, and that is that DFSI, until it was formed as DFSI, it was going through significant change both in leadership, in structure, and in purpose and in vision. And it's fair to say also it's a fairly federated model. So again, similar like it is now, all those agencies I showed before, they had a lot of autonomy in what they were doing in their governance and their structures. And then in the records management space, we have corporate services, we have an information management team within corporate, and the agencies themselves, some of them have their own information and record keeping groups as well, providing services. Varied practices, so some areas obviously still paper-based, some fully electronic, and multiple business systems, not just multiple TRIMs or EDRMS systems, but duplications as well, so duplicate CRM customer relationship systems or duplicate SAPs, etc. And there was a process already starting around policy harmonisation, so HR and finance, procurement, as well as records management. So we had multiple records management policies. Some groups inherited or didn't have one. So there was a team that was actually established to develop a new cluster-wide records management policy. And then towards the end of 2014, we had an audit. KPMG came in and worked with internal audit, and there's an audit on records management and privacy. Also, 2015, we had the new standard on records management from State Archives, and there was a shift in the operating model as well. So as the Office of Finance and Services were then transforming into what is now DFSI. So the audit was fairly pivotal. It was a critical moment. It started in 2014, but we had the recommendations come out a little bit later in 2015. And it was cluster-wide, but it sampled. It looked at three groups in the department. And that was Revenue, Property, New South Wales, and Public Works, as it was then. And it didn't look at the entirety of those groups, excuse me, but it looked at samples, and it was a pretty comprehensive audit, and there were some recommendations, some key findings that came out of that, and probably not surprising that the roles and responsibilities between the divisions and corporate services, as it was then, was a little bit blurry, a little undefined in terms of record keeping and privacy management. There were also no formalised reporting arrangements between the divisions and corporate services. So when you have this federated type model with agencies doing their own thing, we need some monitoring and oversight. And so without that, that was posed as a significant risk to the chief executive himself, because that chief executive couldn't demonstrate or fulfil their obligations for compliance under the State Records Act. So because that was a significant risk, there was a very high recommendation to actually come up with defining the roles and responsibilities and a reporting framework across the department so that there was clear governance for record keeping. So the report also suggested that the way that this could be done was through a self-assessment. So the divisions themselves and business units would complete a self-assessment, and that would be attested to by a nominated responsible officer or a nominated senior officer, whatever the term was at the time. So as I mentioned earlier, there was already a process of writing a new records management policy, and it had a few key objectives. But the main one that I'll be talking about today, obviously, is how it relates to a reporting requirement that was in that policy. So that policy was approved in January just last year. Okay, and we put a process into that policy, and I won't go through the detail of that slide, but essentially there would be a coordinating nominated responsible officer, and there would be direction to the business units to complete a self-assessment. That would be collated and put into a report, and we wanted the executive directors of each business area to provide an attestation statement against those results, and that would go to the head of the division to sign off, and then eventually a report would go to the CIO and the secretary. Okay, so the policy was written and approved in January. Lots of work was done to produce material supporting that, and we actually came to implement in January really this year, and up to, well, just last month, July. So what was important in that is, where does this attestation and assurance process fit with all the other activities that is going on? We have an ICT strategy, we have an IM program as well. So aligning the attestation process, not just as a compliance activity for its own sake, but how it was going to help the organisation in terms of raising maturity, identifying gaps, supporting the digital strategy, New South Wales digital strategy on transitioning to digital government as well. So now that message was slightly different depending on which division and what activities that were going on. Some groups had physical cleanup programs, other groups were unifying the multiple trim systems, etc. So just depending on what was happening, what the program was, that was one of the objectives, was to say, well, how does this process help all the other activities that we're doing for information management? So each division, again, slightly federated, we had a communication plan in each division as well. So that would identify who was responsible, what the timeframes were, what the key messages were, the collateral, etc., that was needed. And some key messages, I think that was important. So it was just to allay some fears that this is the first time that this department's doing it. It's not a whole of government activity. That because it's the first time, we don't expect everyone to have 100% compliance. We don't want tick boxes on what you want to be doing. We just want a baseline. So then from there, we can develop, well, let's inform what the gaps are and where we can go forward. It's not an audit. We have to be realistic. It's a self-assessment. So we don't have the resources to go in there and validate all the responses. And we are asking people to be honest with their responses. But also, there's an expectation that they're honest because their executive director is going to have to attest to that. So there's some pressure as well. Obviously, a lot of supporting collateral. We have an intranet FAQs, templates, self-assessment questionnaire. We actually turned the policy that was written into about 40 or 50 questions. Now, we're not going to ask a business unit to complete 40 or 50 questions. We narrowed that down to the top six policy questions with some other sort of clarifying questions around that as well. somewhat critically as well, being the first time, we need to offer a lot of help. So it's the first time, so it's not, here you go, see you later in a couple of weeks and send it all back. We actually had to dedicate some resources to work with the business on understanding what the requirements were, communicating the message, and then working to the timeframes to get it done. So that was a big commitment. So just to have a quick look at the attestation statement as well, and this fed into some of just supporting the business in being able to complete this, because what we're asking for is an attestation statement against the State Records Act. So what if you're not compliant? How comfortable would an executive director be saying, I'm not compliant with the State Records Act? So we had to be probably some lessons learnt, I think, from the DISC process, some feedback from the CIO, and just be a little bit clever, I think, in allowing executive directors in the business to have some options, and we were flexible to that. So the first option would be, yes, everything's hunky-dory, we're all good, we have controls in place. The next one is, we're attesting, but we've identified gaps, obviously, in the report, and we have a plan in place to address those. And the third one, we've identified the gaps, we've completed the report, but plans need to be developed, and we're committed to doing that. So we have completed the information gathering stage for the attestation. We have signed off attestation statements. And just to give an example of some of the questions, I guess, that we're asking, some of the results that we can see. This is not for the whole of DFSI, this is just a sample from ICT. And the question was, and these are responses to the question, have business systems been assessed for compliance against the standard? And in ICT, there were several groups, and the options were, it's not been assessed, it has been assessed, but we need to implement, or it has been assessed and the recommendations have been implemented as well. So we're able to put groups into those areas. Now, the other questions that were asked in the attestation also built up a risk profile, so we could actually rank groups according to their priority based on risk as well. Some other questions around, have risk assessment been conducted? Do you have approved retention and disposal authorities covering your business? And another one, responses to the question, have you sought co-authorisation for the destruction of records? So again, there's lots of questions that could be asked, and the follow-on questions that are logical from this type of question is, well, if you have sought authorisation, where's the evidence for that? And if you do have evidence, you know, where are you keeping that evidence, etc. But we limited the questions to probably the first one. So if you have sought authorisation from the records manager, then obviously you would have met some standards to actually obtain that authorisation. So we did try to have some logic in the questions that we chose. So the options here, obviously, yes, we have sought authorisation, we have destroyed records, and that's okay. A majority of responses saying no, we haven't destroyed any records. And the third option there, which I think we only have one group respond and say, yes, we have destroyed records and we haven't sought co-authorisation from the corporate records manager. We also took the opportunity to complete an information asset register at the same time. So compliance questions were standardised and all very well and good, but didn't necessarily provide much illustration about what the responses were against, what business systems they were using, what information did they hold. And one way of validating some of the responses as well was to collect this additional information. Now, it was onerous in some ways that we had to dedicate resources to do this, but the benefits aren't just for the attestation process. It actually feeds into understanding what we have, what needs to be managed. It supports the ICT security group as well, and it also supports, again, the larger IM program around the other tools that we want to promote around Office 365, moving away from shared drives, etc. So this gives some visibility, and people were quite honest. They had no qualms about saying, yes, we've got these high-risk, high-value information assets on our shared drive. Please tell us what we should be doing. So there's some benefit to actually illustrating that. So there's just a slide there to show you what sort of fields and information we're collecting. So just some quick numbers just to give an idea of the size and scale. We have over 1,000 entries now on the Information Asset Register. 182 self-assessments were completed. 45 attestation statements. So 45 executive directors have signed off on attestation statements. They will have a report that demonstrates how they're going. And this covers roughly 85% of the business. So Servicing South Wales was out of scope, and we have one other group which hasn't actually provided responses on time. So out of that remainder, there's 85% coverage. And from that, obviously, we have division reports. So we have two division reports signed off by the deputy secretaries. We have three reports pending sign off at the moment as well. And from that, we'll provide a DFSI-wide report to the secretary. So the objectives of an attestation statement and the assurance process itself have largely been met, in that we, for those groups that have completed the process, we have visibility against those questions and the information asset register. We are able to now provide visibility to the secretary on how they're going. And we've obviously raised the profile of the IM program. So the next steps, obviously lessons learned, there's a whole page, and this again, here at DFSI, we have honest conversations. So we have to have an honest conversation about how we've done this and what are the benefits and when do we do this again. And I'll go into lessons learned and pain points as well in the next two slides. The results obviously have to feed into our direction, our IM, our strategy as well. And most critically, I think, in reporting to a deputy secretary, it's not just all well and good to say, here's where we're at. The businesses now have a responsibility to develop implementation plans. And we now have approval to work with those businesses. We've prioritised which groups need to be worked with and what action needs to happen. So we can schedule business system assessments. We can prioritise which systems across the department need to have that occur. We can develop local business rules as well, working with the business on that. And we have to acknowledge also that we have limited resources in ourselves. We prioritise who we're going to work with and what needs to happen. But we have a plan that we can have going forward on making improvements. So pain points. The policy that we wrote started in 2014. It's now 2018. So it needs a review. A critical component in the KPMG recommendations and the policy itself was this nominated responsible officer role. Now, at the time that we finalised the policy, ICT was implementing a governance structure, and the vision was that the ICT directors, or CIO equivalents, would be in each division. So we tried to align with that. But critically, what we found was that not all CIOs or ICT directors had the same jurisdiction or responsibilities within the department, within the division. So where it worked very well, we had ICT directors that were basically CIO equivalents. And where it fell over were where those ICT directors were actually more on the technology side. So that left a void, and that void had to be filled. Language, probably fairly obvious, but we do have some technical terms that we have to use, like disposal schedule, etc. So when talking to the business, sometimes that can be sort of a little bump in the conversation. So just trying to use as plain a language as possible. Born digital, what is born digital? So these terms that we're all familiar with need to be spelled out in a different way. Response options, yes, lessons learned that maybe various or areas of grey, not just yes, no, etc. Options are needed. Resourcing, yes, need to acknowledge this was a big ask on resources to have this done the first time, not just to develop the material and the process and to work with the business, but the time that was taken and the dedicated resource to have that done. And in some ways, aligning with the IM program and messaging is critical, but at the same time, it can also be an issue, because if you need to wait for your communications or your message is dependent on another program or project and another time frame, that can hold you up as well. So slight pain point there. Success factors. Early comms, fairly obvious. So these success factors are where we could see that it worked very well. We had no issue with the implementation, and the results were supported. So we had strong executive sponsorship, very clear governance. Face-to-face interviews, sometimes while we had SurveyMonkey and these sorts of tools to facilitate an easy process of collecting information, sometimes just sending something to someone and say, please provide a response in a week, isn't enough. You should really just book time in their diaries and get it done. Limited priority questions, so I've covered that already. Simpler language, don't ask too many questions. And the network. So again, as I acknowledged at the beginning, it wasn't just myself. I don't think that we would have achieved this or had this completed to the degree that it has been without having a records information management network of colleagues. And don't forget the risk and compliance network as well in the department. They're very interested in this sort of activity. And depending on maturity as well. So when we started or wrote the policy, we didn't have as strong a network of risk and compliance contacts. But by this year, a lot of them are already assigned and very interested in the process itself, the outcomes, and the next steps. Okay, so that completes my presentation. Thank you very much for listening.